This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Chess is about the oldest board game there is. Dates back to the 7th century, and the game is still as popular as ever. Some 600 million people around the world know how to play. But most of the people of Katwe, Uganda, have never heard of it. Katwe is a desperate slum in Uganda's capital city. It takes a lot just to survive in that place. There's not much time left over at the end of the day for board games. But 14-year-old Fiona Mutes from Katwe has mastered the game. To say that she caught on quickly is an understatement. Fiona's grasp of strategy and technique earned her a spot at the Chess Olympiad, the world's largest international chess tournament. Chapel Hill writer Tim Cruthers was with Fiona as she traveled out of Uganda for the first time to Siberia to compete. He documented that trip and her story in an article for ESPN, the magazine, called Game of Her Life. Pleased to welcome Tim Cruthers back to the program today to tell us more about this chess phenomenon. Fiona Mutes, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Frank.
Tell, how did Fiona learn to play chess?
It's as with anything, it's a wide and ranging story with things that happen in Uganda. She was in her home one day and wondered where her brother was going, and her brother tended to leave their little one room shack every day at the same time. And one day she just said, "You know, I'm going to follow him and figure out where it is he goes every day." And it turned out that he was going to a project that was run by an American mission group that was trying to figure out a way to help these kids in their lives. And they had originally done it by offering them the chance to play soccer. But not everybody wanted to play soccer. And so the man who runs it, who is as close to a saint as anyone I've ever met, his name is Robert Katende, and he offered another option to some of the kids who weren't interested in soccer, and that was chess. He was a reasonable recreational chess player as a kid. And he offered it up to the kids, and Fiona had never heard of the game. She had no idea how the pieces moved, none of it. But one day she sat down and she was fascinated more by just the look of the pieces, the black and the white pieces, the fact that they are obviously different shapes and sizes. And she's not that familiar with games, period, as you might imagine. So everything about it seemed fascinating. And she sat down at the board and they started to train her and realized that she had whatever it is, that special chess gene that you have that makes you a potentially good player.
And she was about 9 years old at the time?
She was 9 at the time. She's 14 now, and yeah, she's developed her game from absolute scratch at 9 to the point where she was good enough to play in the Chess Olympiad. And
give us a picture of this place she comes from.
Well, Katwe, as you mentioned, is one of, I describe it in the story as one of the worst places on earth. There is just there's so little hope there. I think that's what really stands out in my mind, having been there, that people there don't have any sense that there's anything more out in the world. Most of them believe that the entire world lives as they do, which is an interesting concept for an American to walk into. But her home is a 10 by 10 house where she lives with her mother and four of her siblings, and she, you know, they for the longest time slept on the floor. She just won a tournament and was able to buy some bunk beds.
Wow. So that was, well, how is her mother supporting her up until then?
Her mother works all day in a local food market. And what she does is she buys some food from a farmer who trucks in his food from the village outside of Kampala. She buys the vegetables from him at a price, makes a meager profit, and spends, you know, 20 hours a day sometimes in this blistering hot market, which is just barely enough to pay the rent and to give her children one meal a day, which is all she really aspires to do.
Which means Fiona had, I would guess, full responsibility for the family while mom was gone.
She did. Her mother likes to say that when the father died many years ago, and so the mother likes to say that she just leaves her children in the hands of God for the entire day because she doesn't see them. She gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning. She often doesn't see her children at all during the day. They just go off and do their schooling if they are able to, or whatever they do, and turn back that night, and sometimes she doesn't see them for the entire day.
And this is a place where the work of women is not highly valued.
It really isn't. You know, the reason she works in the market is because that's really the one place that she can work. Women in Uganda are valued, as I say in the story, for little more than producing babies and then caring for them. And that's really all that they're considered useful for.
So now along comes 9-year-old Fiona, and she's great at chess. What does Robert make of this?
Well, the chess project obviously was more popular for boys than girls because girls aren't really expected to do anything, especially become accomplished chess players. So Robert, I think, was excited because he wanted to have, he loved the fact that there was a girl involved, because what Fiona has done is she's been a Pied Piper of sorts for a lot of other young girls within the Katwe who have joined the chess project now. And she is certainly the model for which Robert is hoping that everyone will sort of see what she's been able to do. I mean, the fact that she's traveled to Russia is incomprehensible for all the other kids who live in Katwe. And he's hoping that by everybody else watching what she's been able to accomplish through the game, they will continue to work hard and perhaps they'll have a chance also to escape the slum.
Tell us about that trip. How did she qualify?
Well, what happens is she had actually been to another tournament. The only other time she's ever left Uganda, she went to a tournament in the Sudan. And she and two of her partners in the Katwe Chess Project surprisingly won this African children's tournament. And one of the people there was a Russian grandmaster. And he suddenly took notice of Fiona and essentially invited her, if she was able to qualify through her Ugandan national team, to come to Siberia and play in this tournament.
And she did. And then she's playing against adults. Talk about that first game that she played. It's a fascinating encounter.
Yeah, her first game ever was against a Canadian master called Dina Kagramanov. And Dina this was her third Olympiad. She is sort of a classic veteran of the game. She's a teacher of chess in Canada and the current Canadian national champion. And here she's playing against Fiona Moutes, who has never played an international match, against an adult, and is playing her first match against a real legitimate player in her life. And Fiona was petrified. I mean, absolutely petrified, as you might imagine. She understood the credentials of the person she was playing, and I think she actually let it get to her a little bit. And Dina made pretty quick work of Fiona, and that was a real learning experience for Fiona to see, just how good the best in the world are. And she just never been in that position before. And so slowly throughout the tournament, she began to get more comfortable to the point where she could actually look across the board at people later in the tournament and say, "I am your equal. I have just as good a chance of winning as you do."
How did she feel about Siberia?
Well, she did not know where Siberia was. She had absolutely no concept of the world map. So when it was pointed out to her where she was going, her one and only question was, "Is it cold there?" And I thought that was very poignant because she lives on the equator. In the coldest day in Uganda is still warmer than the warmest day that we were in Siberia together. So it was just a totally different experience for her.
And the city life as well. I mean,
sure.
there was a hotel.
She's living in a small city in Siberia. She's living in a hotel. Only during that other trip to the Sudan was the only other time she's slept in her own bed. And to have a hotel room with one roommate and a hot shower and particularly, I think the most astounding thing for her was after years of scrapping, hoping to get one meal a day, she's in a situation where she's eating three all-you-can-eat buffet meals a day. I mean, you can imagine the adjustment that she had to make.
What did she say to you on the trip back?
She said, as we were boarding the plane, actually, to leave Siberia, she said, I asked her about what it was going to be like to return to Uganda, and she said, That it, in her mind, although she is, doesn't surely know what this concept really is, she said in her mind that it was, it felt like she was going back to jail. Mm.
So what is her future? She's 14 now.
Mm-hmm.
What's ahead for her?
Well, that's the big question. I think it's easy to turn this into a Disney story, and it really isn't, because what she faces on a day-to-day basis is her number one goal has to be just to survive. Walking around Cotway is a dangerous, dangerous game. Just getting back and forth to the chess project is a dangerous game. So what, you know, I think in a vacuum, she would have a chance to become a very good chess player because her motivation is extraordinary, and she does seem to have the instincts that you need to become a great player. However, she does not have the competition. She does not have any sponsorship. She does not have books or computer or anything that is that regular, you know, strong chess players take for granted. So both her chess future and just her regular normal living future are always going to be in doubt.
And she'd probably have to get a lot better to get anywhere near sponsorship or anywhere any place where she could be out of that, or her family might come up.
Right. And that's the big issue is how do you make that leap without all of the things that I was just telling you about? I mean, it's virtually impossible.
Tim, it's a great story. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Tim Cruthers lives in Chapel Hill. His story about Fiona Mutess appears in the January 10th edition of ESPN, the magazine. You can visit ESPN.com to access the online version. It's called The Game of Her Life. On the state of things just ahead, a whistleblower on the healthcare industry talks healthcare insurance industry, talks with us on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.